Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. And Damon, we're talking about the effects of the COVID-19 and whether we're going to have a season, when we're going to start. We still don't know for sure, but we are learning some things here. How much is the league involved at this point? We're kind of caught between two leagues right now. We're going into the final year of the WCHA with Bill Robertson as the commissioner. We have Don Lucia taking over as the commissioner of the new CCHA, but that doesn't start until next season, and we're not even into this season. So how much of a role right now is Bill playing? Is he showing a leadership role here as the commissioner of the WCHA, and is he talking to people so that we know what's going on? And they did come out with the announcement, along with everybody else, that we weren't going to start the season on time, but what are they saying to us now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you can imagine the daily conversations and changes that a commissioner or an AD or a president, you know, of a university or any business, you know, it changes daily. So, you know, the WCHA League office led by Bill Robertson, I think, is doing a really good job. Our return to play protocol is a big undertaking that we're nearing finalization. As I mentioned, we've got multiple schedules out depending on start dates. And so the league office has had to do a lot that way, and then, you know, having for Bill those conversations nationally to work with the other leagues in college hockey and have us all aligned properly for what's best for our sport. So I think that's you know, done a good job. You know, same thing, Don's trying to be involved in those again. You know, nothing takes effect for a year out, so there's nothing, the COVID is not hitting the CCHA right now as we're a year away from competition. But I can tell you, coaches, we're pretty zoomed out, you know, and you got to remember what league you're on, and because there is prep work going into the CCHA, you know, we actually just got the first schedule for that as well. You know, and we'll vote on that. We'll see if that works for everybody and what that looks like. So there's a lot going on. And when you're in between leagues, as you mentioned, it's a whole extra kind of play to work, or, you know, additional Zoom calls and things you got to navigate and work with as well. So it's been a really busy time in a lot of ways. And I think as coaches, we're frustrated. We want to, you know, we want to coach and we want to teach. We want to be with our student athletes. And certainly, you know, through the last 14 days, we weren't able to do that at our institution. We got through some really productive individual meetings in terms of defining roles for players and, you know, getting to check in with them on how the first 5 weeks of school have gone and things like that. But, you know, we're anxious. We're having a hard time as well. We want to be back on the ice where we love to be, and we're looking forward to that here later today.
You know, speaking of that, have there been positive tests all over campus, or very few, or, I mean, with general student body at this point? I know there's a lot of in-person instruction going on at Lake Superior State. It's one of the few institutions in the state doing that. And there's masks being worn in class, et cetera, by both professors and the students. I haven't really heard about any outbreak or anything, so I'm thinking things are going pretty well.
Yeah, and I don't know, Bill. I'm not the right person to ask. You know, I don't want to share information that's not public or not mine to share. I mean, I will say that I think, you know, our senior administration led by Mike Beasley has done a really good job to align testing and get testing available. From an athletics point of view, I think we've been outstanding. You know, there's NCAA protocols that we have to test even in our out-of-season sports. It's a minimum of 50% of our team every 2 weeks. And so I think I mentioned that, you know, some of my guys have tested 10, 12 times already, like, you know, and done a really good job with protecting themselves. And again, for the most part, socially, we've done a pretty good job. We've had one or two areas where we've tried to remind our guys to make good decisions and, you know, not expose yourself in bigger groups and you know, college parties, et cetera. So we're trying to be vigilant that way. But, you know, I know for our hockey team, like I said, we've tested probably probably 200-300 times at least. You know, no positive cases, and so that's gone really well. And in general, as you said, I think the university, led by Mike Beasley in that area, has done a really strong job to educate our students. You know, to try to keep this moving in a safe manner and protect, you know, whether it's faculty, staff, or the students. I think we're doing a pretty darn good job overall, and that's why we've been able to keep operating.
Yeah, it's tough right now, and we refer back to revenue. You know, you've got to have money coming in order to keep all the boats floating here, and hockey's a big part of that. I think basketball, there are some revenue sports here that do create and help pay for themselves, and we need to get playing there, and yet how do you do it and do it safely? That's the big question. I think this is why the Big Ten is going back and reconsidering and going to play some football. That's why the NFL is playing. There are huge television contracts here involved with these sports. It's why Major League Baseball is playing. It's why the NHL is going. You know, if it comes down push and shove, if we're still not playing in January, there are going to be layoffs. They're going to have to be. People are going to lose their jobs here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and I you've seen it in some of the pro sports. You know, with no junior hockey being played, you're looking at support staff, scouting staffs, or pay reductions, you know, in a lot of different college fields and teams and universities, and same with pro. So, yeah, you're right. If there's not a season to be had, then, you know, I would agree. You know, we're going to lose some people and some great people, and then that's going to be a real challenge in itself. And I think the other part, too, you know, return to play would be positive, and certainly a full stadium would be great, but any help in revenue is going to help offset some of the projected losses, you know. But then you look at testing procedures, and there's a big, you know, I think the Big Ten's talking about maybe daily rapid test. And, you know, I don't know what the costs are, you know, the type of testing they're using. I have a pretty good idea in our cost. And, you know, there's another huge chunk of expense to meet the NCAA mandate in testing. So, you know, we do need any help, you know, whether people can join the Laker Club, or, you know, keep their sponsorships going if their businesses are doing all right, or get on that ticket list and get that deposit in. But it's going to be a real challenging time for everybody in college athletics, as it is for, you know, our business owners locally and a lot of our community members. So we're all trying to figure this out together. And again, you know, we hope Laker hockey is a small piece of normalcy and coming back together, you know, in November, ideally.
Yeah, I know that the athletic director at Lake State, Dave Pateson, put out an announcement this past week asking for help financially. Hey, we need our alumni to step up. We're not making any money here. We still need to keep people employed. We need to pay bills. We need to do testing. We need to do a lot of things that cost money, and we need that help. And, you know, I think that's a good thing at this point to ask for help. I know Great Lakes State Weekend's been canceled for this year. That's never happened before, and it's because of the COVID-19, the ramifications of that, bringing people to campus who wouldn't normally be here, et cetera. And that's the way it is at this point. It looks like probably the pink in the rink, or the check slash survive, those things are going to probably go by the board this year, yeah. And we're going to be just doing well to have a schedule and to play some hockey.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and again, I think it's, you know, you can certainly find a lot of different articles and information, and I guess it's maybe more the big football schools that are talking about it, but you're seeing $80 million, $150 million loss of revenue, and, you know, we'll have that same challenge on a scale of a Division II campus and things like that with Division I hockey. But we're going to have those very same revenue challenges. And, you know, internally we're dealing with those budget cuts within athletics to help offset some of those revenue shortfalls. And, you know, anybody who can help and join and support in any small ways would be, you know, a big help in how we're going to look to offset those revenue shortfalls.
Yeah, we certainly need people who generally join Laker Club or who support hockey through the Blue Liners, etc. We need them to make sure they do at least what they've been doing, if not more, and if you can do more to help out, because this is a tough situation. And, you know, it's just athletics at Lake Superior State. There are other things in the world that are probably more important, but if you can help the Lakers, they certainly do need it at this point. And we're still hopeful that we're going to have a pretty complete schedule. We'll start playing November, December, January if necessary. GLIAC's looking at January. I know basketball is going to start practicing this week in earnest, so hopefully these things are going to work themselves out. We've got a lot of things to talk about here this morning. I want to get into a talk about players. We've done this, Damon, several times, the new guys who are coming in, the players who are returning, etc. But this is what fans love to talk about. They know the players, for the most part, who are returning. I think we have 10 returning forwards on this team, and everybody knows their names. We can go through that here in a minute, but we do have 7 new guys coming in, unless somebody's decided they're not going to play. It was 7 last time I looked at the list, and that's 17 forwards. That's pretty darn good. I think, you know, that's what frustrates me here. I think this could be a pretty good hockey team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, we haven't been out as a whole team yet, as we kind of talked about earlier in the program. So we're still, you know, anxious, and, you know, fans can probably, you know, imagine our players. You know, we've got some guys, depending on what group you've been assigned to, and our groups have not changed a whole lot. We went from 3 to 2. But if you're in Group A, if you're a senior in Group A, you've barely spent time with some of the freshmen in Group B. And, you know, that's tough to start building a team and a culture and things like that. So, you know, that's one of the challenges we're dealing with. But it's a good group. You know, we've certainly have questions. And as we define roles and met with guys last week, you know, we talked about that with them. I think people are going to want to know how you replace Max Humich, you know, Braden Gelsinger, certainly, you know, Brian Basilico, Brendan McKay were impact forwards in a different type of role. But we've got some questions on scoring. And I think we've got some real answers with our returners who are coming off strong years and can take a step. And then some freshmen coming in who can also contribute, along with, you know, the Brandon Percelli and Logan Genuine, the transfers who will join us and, you know, gain their eligibility at some point as well. So I think I like the mix. I think there's I think our depth is overall better up front, but those question marks remain about, you know, I don't know if we're gonna have 1 or 2 guys score 22 like Max did, or it's gonna be more by committee. But I think we have some ability up front to overcome those losses.
Yeah. How do these guys look at this point? Did they work off season so that they're ready to go? I'm talking Genuine and Percelli. And is Jack Jeffers, the transfer from Huntsville, here?
Yeah, Jack is here. Yep. And those other guys, as you mentioned, here. So as expected, most of our crew's here. Taylor Brown, our strength conditioning coach, we got shut down just a day or two before we finalized a lot of our off-ice testing protocol. So we were a little bit incomplete on some of those numbers. But I know Taylor overall, you know, feels really good about where we're at. Some of our power numbers on our testing, on our Wingate testing, were outstanding. Our VO2 numbers for our cardio endurance were also pretty strong, especially for, you know, being this far out from a start of the season. There's a couple upperclassmen I think, you know, we need to improve their VO2, but again, we have time to do that. We feel like, as long as we can get moving here. Taylor felt really optimistic about the shape the guys came in. One of our freshmen came up last week. And this is kind of a freshman mindset for our fans listening, what it feels like. But this particular freshman came in and he's like, you know, hey, I thought I had a great summer. I've never trained harder. I got a lot stronger. And he's like, boy, am I shocked at how much more I have to go. And this kid did well. Like, he'd be one of our, you know, better freshmen over the last couple of years with where he landed. But when you sit him down next to a Will Rydell or an Ashton Calder, you know, the difference from an incoming freshman to a junior senior is just, it's really tremendous. And these guys, you know, don't know that till they're actually in these locker rooms and, you know, in the weight room with these guys there. So overall, the group looks good. I think we're fairly pleased with where the team's at overall. Certainly different individuals have areas they need to continue to improve upon and work additionally on. But we have a real good base to start with, and Coach Brown's done a good job with that end of it.
Yeah, your seniors up front this year and guys you're going to look to for a lot of leadership are Hampus Eriksson, who's really had a pretty good career here and has great potential. Yuki Miura, Alex Ambrosio, and Chase Gamblin. And that's a pretty good crew right there.
Yeah, it is. You know, real good. You know, obviously a couple of those guys will wear letters and lead us that way as well. But when you look at Hamp and Ambro, having 2 senior centers is a real positive piece to have in place. You know, those are guys that have been in critical situations. They understand the importance of every single face-off, and they're both, you know, very strong on the face-off. And so that's a good area to have some senior leadership in, and then 2 good wingers as well, and Chase Gamblin and Yuki Miura. So again, we're, you know, good meetings with those guys. I think Chase is really understanding of his role and the way he adds value to our team on and off the ice. And you know, we're looking for Chase and Yuki and those other seniors to have their best years as Lakers. And when your seniors lead the way, you're in for a real successful season.
Yeah, juniors up front, we got Pete Violette, who could be really, really, really good this year. He was good last last year. He missed more chances than he scored on, but he got the chances. He creates a lot. You got Miro Muka, who we've talked about a little bit here already. And Ashton Calder, who's wearing an A this year, looks like he's in great shape physically. And he's got high-end skill.
Yeah, all real good players. You know, Miro, of those three, I guess, is a little bit, not as much as a resume yet at our level. You know, a real gifted scorer in junior hockey and in prep school at Shattuck St. Mary's. And I thought he finished the year extremely well. So we think Miro is one of those guys that is ready to take that next step, as you often see as guys move along in their college careers. So we're excited to see what Miro goes to this year. And Pete Nashton, as you mentioned already, two of our most dynamic forwards. Ashton was a former all-rookie member in the WCHA. Another phenomenal summer. He looks just, really ready to be a dominant player night and night. I think he was at times early in the year. He was at times late in the year. Went through a little lull mid-season. If he puts it all together, I look for him to be one of the most dominant players night in, night out. And Pete Viette was that guy as well. You know, Pete had a great, consistent year. May have led us in goals or second in goals, but a very quick, fast, dangerous player, and those juniors and senior forwards you mentioned are going to have to be really good for us, and they have the ability to do that.
Yeah, the balance here is very good. You got four seniors, three good juniors. You've got three sophomores, and they're all good players. Louis Bedone was really good as a freshman last year. There's no reason to think he's not going to just get better. And Nico Selivanov, we didn't really see him all that much, but he's very quick. He's a tough little competitor. He'll give somebody a hard time trying to get in the lineup every practice. And Dustin Manns, pretty good face-off man for a freshman last year.
He does a lot.
He's just going to get better.
Yeah, I think Dustin can be a little underappreciated. You know, he's one of those guys I've always referred to him, and he's won everywhere he's been, and he's just a winner. He does things the right way, starting with being just, very, very elite on face-offs. But he's heavy on pucks. He goes to the net front. He's good on the wall. Louis, obviously had a tremendous year. I think he was second in freshman scoring in the league and one of the tops nationally. Well-earned honor to be on the all-rookie team last year. And then again, we almost started the year with Louis and Manzi playing center. He had two freshmen center. That's a tough position. The only one harder is probably a defenseman to come in as a freshman and play big minutes. So those guys as sophomores, we expect a really big step from them, and they're very capable, to do that. So again, we've got four centers that have all played, pretty significant time and minutes in college hockey. It's great to have experience down the middle of the ice, and we have that this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That's why I'm kind of excited about this. I think this could be a really good hockey team if it gels at all and finally gets putting things together. Up front now, among the newcomers, you got a pretty highly touted one in Josh Wildauer, who comes out of Coquitlam of the BC League. Spencer Dembeste, this kid's got good size. He's out of Marquette, Michigan, but he played in Johnstown of the North American League. Benny Posa from Des Moines in the U.S. Hockey League. And Tyler Williams from Nanaimo, another BC Hockey League player. And we already mentioned, but they bear mentioning again, is Jack Jeffers, the transfer from Huntsville, Logan Genuine from Arizona State, and Brandon Puricelli from Minnesota Duluth. Now, there's still question on Genuine and Puricelli as to when they can play. I think Jeffers he can play right away because his program, they let him loose.
Yeah, you went through a lot of guys there, but just realizing those four freshman forwards, all Michigan boys, so we got a real strong Michigan flavor back in, which is good. I think that's dropped a little bit the last couple years, and we want to take care of our backyard and be good in our state. Obviously, our staff is all Michigan natives as well, so we have the ties to do that. So we're excited. It's a good group. You mentioned Dembeste and Posa, as two guys with a little bit more size, and it's interesting as you watch the Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Islanders. They start every game with kind of that crash line or that energy line, and I think those two guys are guys that will make their impact early on at Lake State as kind of those energy type players. They're going to be disruptive. They're going to be heavy. Both guys skate pretty well and can shoot the puck well, so we're going to need contributions offensively as well. Wildauer Williams would be a little bit more smaller guys, probably a little bit more playmaking ability early on opportunities if they can earn those opportunities, but both both real good dynamic players. You know, Josh Wildauer was an assistant captain on the best team in the BC League last year, just had a tremendous couple of years out in the BC League and a great leader. And then Tyler Williams, a dynamic little playmaker as well. And both those guys have shown some real good moments in some of the smaller games we've done in those smaller groups. So we're excited for that group. And then you lump in those transfer guys. Obviously, you know, we lost a couple of guys like Owen Guy and Robert Bluger. So we kind of lost guys in the transfer market. So we turned to the transfer market to look to fill those spots. And Jeffers, Genuine, and Percelli all have a chance to be real impactful players. You know, Jack Jeffers is a couple of years in our league and understands, you know, what it takes to play night in and night out. I think, you know, his numbers are a little low. I think in part due just to Huntsville not having a lot of offensive guys and numbers on the team the last year or two. But I think Jack has shown some real good play, getting up and down the ice using his speed and skill. And then Genuine Percelli, you know, same thing. You know, they both come. You know, certainly Percelli is on a back-to-back national championship team in Duluth. You know, he's been really good early on, and you know, we're going to need him and Logan both to step in and help be one of those guys, some of those guys that replaced the offense we lost from Humitz and Gelsinger, and I think they really have the opportunity to do that. So it's our depth is better than maybe it's ever been. I think we've got a really competitive group. Again, we've tried to kind of define roles a little bit earlier than we normally may, and now guys have to go earn those opportunities, and it'll be a very competitive group to do that.
All righty, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning. It's our September edition of the show. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors here, and we'll be right back with more. We'll wrap it up here on ESPN 1400.